This first prayer request, Lord had laid this on my heart this morning, just to continue to pray for our military who's been deployed because of the situation between Ukraine trying to hold off Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Innocent men and women sent over there to try to protect this idiot in Russia. And then we want to pray for Brianna Thompson's baby boy, Elijah, who is sick. He's had a really high temperature, and he's been on some antibiotics, which has caused some other issues, as they often do.
Yeah.
And then we want to pray for Guillermo, Carolina's husband. That's our sweet, sweet friends in Honduras. His grandmother passed away this past weekend.
Okay.
And then I would just ask you to continue to pray for Joe and his continued healing.
Amen. Amen. Father God, as we come before you, we come to your throne of grace in the name of Jesus. The reason I say it that way is because, Father God, you said it that way. You said that because Jesus, our high priest, remained pure and perfect for us, that he opened a way through the veil of his flesh on the cross to the throne of grace. And you said, Father, that we by prayer can enter the throne of grace to find help in our time of need. Well, Father God, we pray in this time of need for our military personnel, Lord, men and women who've been deployed because of this conflict in Europe. We know that what affects Europe affects all of us. We are truly, as never before, citizens of the world, not just where we live at. So we speak your peace, and we pray for your wisdom over those in leadership. We pray for world leaders. We pray that you captivate their hearts. You cause them to desire the things that you'd have them to desire. And we pray for our military personnel and for all the civilians and people in harm's way, that they would have the wisdom to know where to be and when to be there. That you protect them even by supernatural angelic intervention, Father. Now, Father, we pray also for Breanne Thompson's baby boy, Elijah. Father, we're not sure of what sickness, what virus, what thing may be attacking him. But we know that, Lord, he's had symptoms of a high temperature. And, Father, some problems caused with even antibiotics. And so we pray over this precious baby. We ask, Father, for a release of grace and healing and mercy to his body. We know that by your stripes, Jesus, he was healed. And we claim that healing that belongs to him, Father. We pray that there be a sudden and immediate change in these symptoms so that Brianna will see it and give glory and honor to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for it now. Father, we pray for Guillermo and Carolina, for their family, for Guillermo's family as his grandmother's passed away. We pray that your peace and your comfort comfort them and that the hope of heaven be their literal joy. We pray that in this time they find themselves in a place of rejoicing over the fact that Jesus died for our sins and heaven is our home. And we give you praise for that comfort now. We also continue to pray for Joe, Father God. We thank you that Joe Pyatt has been purchased by the blood of Jesus, redeemed from the curse, because Jesus became a curse for him. Father, we apply that blessing that you promised to his body. We thank you that he has been feeling good. He's feeling better. He's stronger. He asked me the other day, just continue to keep praying for my healing. And Father, we are believing for the manifestation of that healing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen.
Joshua's Crossing Ministries, they are our Facebook sponsor for today. They're located at the Promise Center here in Elk City. Also, Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Love your ride. Today at Bardice and Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters, we know that loving your ride means taking care of it. Our service team is here to keep your vehicle running its best, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. With the largest team of certified technicians in Western Oklahoma, let us show your ride some love today. Come experience the Bardice and difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at BardiceandFord.net.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. Our guest this morning is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title for today is God is Working.
Working.
In all things.
In all things. You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know. It's easy to see when God's working in the good things, you know. When you're praying and or you're just hoping about something. It's funny how sometimes in my life I can pray. I'm not making a statement of negativity here, but listen to this. I'm being honest. Sometimes, man, I can really pray hard and I don't see the results right then how I want to see them. I know that probably shocks y'all. We all like that, aren't we, as believers in Christ? Sometimes we, you know, we're praying and we don't see it exactly how we want to see it when we want to see it. I'm just being honest. Sometimes prayer takes time. And sometimes maybe, just maybe, like James said in his letter to the church, he goes, you know, you ask, but you don't receive because you're asking for the wrong thing with the wrong motive. I'm sure we're probably all guilty of that at times. Now, concerning healing, according to the Bible, healing is always God's will. It's never not right to believe God for healing. So just if you're believing God for healing and you're not seeing it, and you say, well, maybe I'm not supposed to be healed, that's just dismiss that. That's a lie. According to the Word of God, you already are healed by the stripes of Jesus. We just need to receive that healing. And millions of people have been healed, and God is no respecter of persons. If he's healed them, why would he not heal you? You know, if God's going to heal anybody on this planet Earth today and bring glory to the name of Jesus, because that's really what it's all about. His healing, your body, bring glory to his name. Do you want to see God glorified today? Then by all means, say, God, here I am. I'm a candidate to glorify your name. Maybe you don't need a physical healing. Maybe you need emotional healing. Well, I'm a candidate to glorify your name. Maybe you need your income source has been diminished. You lost your job. Something's going on in your life. You said, well, hey, God, here I am. I'm a candidate for your glory. You know, I'll bring glory to your name. But the truth is sometimes we pray and we don't see it how we want to see it. But I want you to get this. That doesn't mean that God's not working. God's still working. Like here's an example God gave me years ago. It's like this. He reminded me that you're like this. He goes, son, you're like this. You come up to a stop sign and you say, in the name of Jesus, be green. And you want it green right now. Because I actually do that. I really do. I'll come up on a stop. I did it this morning. I was in a hurry to get here. I was running on Neva time. And I was running behind. And they closed off the on-ramp to I-40 at Foss, and they didn't even call me and ask me first.
How rude.
And I went to go get on the on-ramp, and I was already running behind, and it so just messed with me that I didn't even think, well, just drive another quarter mile and get on old 66, right? I literally turned around, went back to Pendleton's, and pulled it. It's like, how am I going to get there now? And I was like, oh, dummy, go across there and go get on old 66. Which I did, but that took me several minutes that I didn't really have to spare this morning. So, you know, you can get discombobulated. But I sometimes want things my own way. So here I'm coming into Elk City. I'm running behind, and there's a light out here by Love's on the west side of town, and I can see it. I'm a quarter mile away. It's red. And I'm like, Lord, I really need that light green. Light be green. Light be green. And you think I'm making this up. I'm not. I'm like, light be green. Like, do you really think that you're saying light be green will affect that thing? Maybe. But it don't hurt. It's a, you know, so I said, light be green. And sure enough, about the second time I said it, lo and behold, somebody go, that's just coincidence. Them lights are on timers. Whatever. It don't matter anyway. It turned green. It helped me. It turned green. Praise God. But here's what God showed me years ago. He goes, you want it to turn green no matter what else is happening. I go, mm-hmm, because I want it to be green on my side. And he goes, but before I can turn your side green, I've got to turn the other side from green to yellow to red. Because if I just make it green just because you say you want it green and you want it green when? Right now. Bam! I want it green. Well, your light's green, and that 18-wheeler's light's green, and you're going to meet in the middle of that intersection in a way you don't want to meet because you think you got to have it your way right now.
Come on.
So the Lord reminded me, said, when you ask me to make the light green, do you want to give me the opportunity to turn his light yellow and red, or do you think you need it right this second? Boy, it put me in my place. God says, I will hear and answer your prayer. If your prayer's in line with the word, your prayer's always going to be answered in the affirmative. You're going to get what you ask for when you ask in accordance with the word and believe in your heart what you pray for. You're always going to get it. But you may not get it right this second. You will receive it by prayer right this second, or you'll never see it. But what I mean by get it is, mean, like, you know, it's like, oh, I'm believing for a cell phone. Oh, well, here's your cell phone. You know, oh, I'm believing for a cell phone. Okay, we put you one on order. Well, I can't use it right now. No, but you'll be able to use it when you have it in your hands. But when did you receive it? I received it when I put it on order. Prayer puts things in order. Now, going back to our topic, our real topic, this is all related. But when I pray and I don't see it like I want to see it, I want you to realize this is not a time to be troubled or give up or quit or frustrated, throw in a towel, or get worried. Just, it's a time to remind yourself of this. I know that God is working. Romans 8:28 tells me that I know that God is working in all things together for my good because I love God. And both I and the things are both being called according to his purpose. And I know that Ephesians 1:11 says that God works all things out in conformity to his will or his plan. Praise God. I'm going to just lie on that. I pray about things, but if I don't see it, that doesn't change nothing. I'm just believing that God heard me and that he's working it out. Amen. I'm going to be like the disciples when Jesus told them, do not let your heart be troubled. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. I'm going to capture them thoughts that try to make me have trouble. Make me worried, and I'm going to capture them thoughts. Now, if you would, we're going to finish up with the passage scripture in Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah, Old Testament, chapter 36, and I'm going to try to get through this. This is an account of an attack against the people of God by a wicked king. No, it wasn't Vladimir Putin. It was somebody with the same kind of attitude, somebody with an attitude of conquest. Somebody with an overinflated ego and an attitude of conquest. His name was Sennacherib, but here it is. In Isaiah, let's pick it up, chapter 36, verse 1. I'm going to read quickly, so stay with me. Isaiah 36, 1. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, that's the king of Israel or Judah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. And then the king of Syria sent his field commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. When the commander stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field, Eliakim, the king of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, and Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, went out to meet him. In other words, executive committee. The field commander said to them, tell Hezekiah, tell your king, tell your president, whatever. This is what the great king, the king of Syria, says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours that you say you have strategy and military strength, but you speak only empty words? Now imagine, I'm seeing Vladimir Putin sending this, saying this to Vladimir Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, because Russia is by far a superior military power to the Ukraine. I'm seeing that picture like that. And I'm seeing any military or any bully type force putting at someone else and trying to oppress them and force their will upon them. The Ukrainian people do not want to be Russian. They do not want to be socialist. They do not want to be communist. They want to be free. They want freedom. They want independence. They want to be like the West. And get that straight. I'm not saying that Ukraine has a perfect government. By no means. There is no such thing as a perfect government except the government of the kingdom of God. Our government sure ain't perfect, but we're still one nation under God, blessed and highly favored. In spite of our many weaknesses, faults, flaws, and sins, God's blessing is still upon us because his grace is more than enough. Amen. But here this wicked king comes against the people, and he goes, what do you think you're counting on? You think you really got enough strength to stand against me? That's in essence what he's saying. And then he offers them an opportunity. He goes, are you depending? He said, who are you depending on? Let's pick it up in verse 7. He goes, if you say to me, we are depending on the Lord our God, isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship before this altar? Now, what he's trying to do is he's trying to tear down the leadership of the nation. He's trying to make the people of the nation turn against their leader, who was a godly, Hezekiah at this time was a godly leader. He tore the altars he tore down were the altars of Baal and Molech. He didn't tear down God's altars. He told the people, you need to quit worshiping on these high places and come over here and worship at the temple and worship the true God. But this enemy tried to twist it and make it something it wasn't. So the first thing that the enemy tries to get you to do when he wants to attack you is he try to get you to doubt leadership. If you're going to church and you find yourself starting to question your pastor and your leadership and whatever, first of all, just hold up what they're doing to the Bible. If they're being biblical, you had no right to question them. You may disagree with the way they say something or do something or whatever else, but if they're not outside the scriptural principles, you got no reason to question them. Just saying. So they'd say, you know, come on, we'll make a bargain. Verse 8, come now and we'll make a bargain with my master, the king of Syria. I'll give you 2,000 horses if you can put riders on them. In other words, you couldn't form an army if we gave you the horses. He goes, how then can your response repulse one officer of the least of my master's officials, even though you are depending on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? In other words, you're dependent on your allies. You got nothing, and your allies are going to abandon you. That's the same thing that Putin's tried to tell the Ukrainian people. And the Ukrainian people said, no, we're not going to be Russians. We're not going to be communists. We're not going to be socialists. If we die, we die, but we're going to stand here and fight for our nation. That's what they're doing. They're standing up for right. I'll tell you something else that's going on over there, and you don't realize this, but in Russia, the church in Russia, the official church in Russia, the Eastern Orthodox Church, they don't believe that any Christians that believe from the West, like we do, like Bible-believing Christians from the Western Hemisphere, they think we're heretics. They're not. Eastern Orthodox Christians in Russia are not Bible-believing brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, there are a lot of born-again believers in Russia. One of my favorite teachers of the Bible is a minister who's in right there in Moscow, looks out his window at the Kremlin. His name is Rick Renner. He's an Oklahoman missionary planted in Russia. And man, their church has grown, and it's amazing and wonderful how they reach the Russian-speaking people throughout the world. But see, God is doing a work. In a similar situation, the enemies of Israel had come up against them, and that with an overpowering force. And here's what I want to say, because I'm going to run out of time. I'm not going to get to say everything. But the enemy over there, he tried to mock him, he tried to belittle him, he tried to discourage him, and then when none of his tactics would work, he came with his invasion force. Now, in between the time, he tried intimidation, he tried all kinds of things to get them to basically throw their leadership out and surrender to his rule and become Syrian, and they wouldn't do it. And here's what happens in chapter 37 and verse 5. It says, when King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah, that's the prophet of God, Isaiah said to them, tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Here's what God said about this Syrian king attacking his people. He said, this is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid of what you've heard. Those words, which are the underlings of the king of Syria, have blasphemed me. Listen, I'm going to put a spirit in him so that when he hears a certain report, he will return to his own country, and there I will cut him down with a sword. If you tuned me out because I was monotone all of a sudden, get this. God tells them in advance that this powerful military force that's come against you, the whole army of Syria with this wicked king of Syria who's come against you, he goes, you don't need to worry about it because I got a plan. God said, I'm going to cause his heart to be turned back. He's going to hear evil report. He's going to hear about things bad, and he is going to turn back home. He's going to go back home, and when he gets back home, I'm going to have him cut down with a sword. That's what God said. God said, I got a plan, and I'm taking care of this. Now look at verse 21 of that chapter, Isaiah 37:21. And Isaiah said to Amos, the son, sent a message to Hezekiah. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Because you prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Syria, or because you prayed to me concerning this oppressor, this word of the Lord is spoken against him, and he speaks a word against him. And God literally says, I'm going to pick it up again now for the sake of time in verse 28. He said, but I know where you stay. This is God talking to this wicked king that's coming against the people. God goes, I know where you stay, and I know where you come, when you come and when you go and how you rage against me. But because you rage against me and because your insolence reached my ears, here's what God said to this wicked Sennacherib, king of Syria. He said, I'll put my hook in your nose, and I'll put my bit in your mouth, and I will make you return by the way you came. Now, I'm going to go to the end of the story, which is verse 36. The angel of the Lord went out. God took matters in his own hands. The angel of the Lord went out in that day and put to death 185,000 men of the Assyrian army. Don't tell me God can't intervene. And when the people got up in the morning, and they were all dead bodies, so Sennacherib, king of Syria, broke camp and withdrew. And he returned to Nineveh, and he stayed there. And one day while he was worshiping in the temple of his god, which happened to be a demon god, false god of Nisroch, his sons cut him down with the sword. In other words, exactly what God said was going to happen came to happen, came to pass, exactly like God said it. God said, I got a plan, and I'm going to bring it to fulfillment. I'm going to end today by reading you a prophecy from a prophet named Kim Clement, who's with the Lord now. He's a South African pastor who's a prophet of the Lord. And in 2014, he gave this prophecy. Now, in 2014, I'm going to tell you a little history about this. In Ukraine in 2014, the people got tired of being ruled by a ruthless Russian puppet president that Russia had installed in Ukraine, and they rose up against him, and so he fled the country. He fled the country. And Ukraine at that time in 2014, in the latter part, they became a democracy, a free people. But no one invaded them in 2014. It was a civil uprising. And they rose up against, and they overthrown their own government and said, we're tired of this puppet regime government. We want to be free. And they threw their president, fled the country. That's what happened. But in that time, this prophet of God gives this prophecy. Here's what he said. He said, I am prophesying right now in 2014. He said, I am prophesying right now from the beginning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to make this declaration to the nations of the earth. Now hear me. The Spirit of God says, Putin, I speak to you now. King Putin, you call yourself. Do you really believe that I raised up a king in the 80s by the name of Ronald Reagan to pull down a curtain and destroy a wall that divided for nothing? Do you really think that I did all that in vain for you to stand and raise up a wall and a curtain again? No, no. Putin, get out of my way, get out of my way, says the Lord. As I hardened the heart of Pharaoh for the benefit of my people, so now I have hardened your heart. I am hearing a sound in my spirit. For the benefit of my people, my church, my holy ones, my elect, my Israel, I have hardened your heart, Mr. Putin. You see, I said I would lift my hand off of Russia for a season, and I did, and look what is happening. You are unbridled, King Putin. You are unbridled now, but I want you to know what historically I did to kings who took their power and abused it. Ultimately, there will be freedom for the sake of my people. Oh, troublemaker, who would stand and terrorize the world, my world, says the Lord. I will put my hook in your nose, and I will put my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way you came. And those who survived and escaped will bear much fruit, says the Lord. And that fruit shall be in Ukraine. That fruit shall be in the nations that you have encroached upon to take for your glory. I will cause a remnant to be raised up and bear much fruit for my kingdom. Did you get that? That prophet of God prophesied 8 years ago that Vladimir Putin would rise up and try to take over nations and abuse the power that he was allowed to have as a ruling authority, and that he was going to try to take over nations, and in particular, one of the nations that's mentioned is Ukraine. And that prophet of God says that Ukraine is going to survive, that they're going to have a remnant, that God's going to put a hook in Mr. Putin's jaw, just like he did in that wicked Syrian king, and he's going to put a hook in his jaw and turn him back. So as we pray for this conflict today, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine to stand firm and to be encouraged and be strengthened. And we speak peace over them. And we speak peace over the people that are known by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they be in Russia or Ukraine or any region in Eastern Europe or anywhere in this world, anywhere that there is conflict, anywhere that there is oppression. We release the name of Jesus, and we declare that God is in control, that God is working a plan. Right there, and even down into our neighborhood, maybe something's going on in your very own household that seems out of control. Maybe the enemy, the oppressor himself, has come to oppress your household with something. But I say to you today that God is working all things together for your good, and God is working all things in conformity his plan, and you don't need to worry. You don't need to be troubled. Even as God turned this around in 2014 and he turned it around in 2022, God will work for you. Just trust in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. 2022, trust the Lord to work for you.
Amen. 2022, trust the Lord to work for you. I like that. Hallelujah.
I love you, Lord.
Amen.
So cool. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Miss Neva Pyatt, and from Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send out,